Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio Team. Over the next few episodes of Serving Today, we're delving into the archives with a series of talks called Dealing with Disasters. We thought that this would be appropriate in the current climate. We hope these reflections will help us all to make sense of this very unusual period that we're facing. Welcome to Serving Today, the programme for the servants of Christ. I'm Andrew Cook. It's good to be with you again. Caring for those affected by disaster. Dr. John Hall continues his series. We come again to the subject of dealing with those involved in disasters. Dr. John Hall is helping us with this, and Derek French is going to talk with him for us.
John, we come to the fourth main area in your studies on disasters, and it's a very practical one. It's what you've called helping others. And I suppose the obvious question to begin with here is, what's required of us?
Some of the things we're going to look at are true for all Christians, and others more specifically apply to pastors, as these talks were designed for pastors. As pastors, we have the special responsibility to bring God's word to people.
So what are you going to start with?
The first general principle in helping others applies to all Christians, pastors or not. And it's this, to do good to all men.
So which Bible passage in particular are you going to begin with?
This is Galatians 6 and verses 9 and 10, which reads, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers."
John, this is a vast subject. There's so much in Scripture, isn't there, which teaches us to have this response.
And that only serves to underline how important it is that we give this help to those in need. Jesus tells us to love our enemies, Matthew 5, verse 44. And we see from his own example that he had compassion on the hungry in Mark chapters 6 and 8. We could choose many other cases during his ministry. Then we can think of James. Derek, could you read this for us? It's James chapter 2, beginning at verse 15.
"Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead."
So the first thing is we need to do good to all men. But secondly, in order to do that, you need an honest assessment of what you're capable of.
Why have you said that particularly, John?
Well, remember, Paul says in his introduction to spiritual gifts in Romans 12, verse 3 and following, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. In disasters, all sorts of gifts are needed: giving, organisation, being part of a team, listening, practical help, psychological help, spiritual help, and so on. And you cannot do everything. So a good assessment of what you are able to do is very important, and it will make you more beneficial than if you try to do something completely outside your capabilities."
Yeah, I can see that's really very wise advice, isn't it? Because we can spend time worrying about things which, well, we can't possibly do ourselves. And that can, if we're not careful, almost paralyze us from doing what we can do.
And also, we need to remember that what we are able to do depends on the opportunities that we have. Paul has urged us to seize the opportunities we do have. He says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people." Working as a team will also mean discipline, love, the avoidance of envy and jealousy and strife, and also submission to the authority structures in the team.
So what would you say is the pastor's role at such times?
The elder's job is to identify the needs and then pray and help organise the work. Think of the apostles when a row started over the distribution of food in the church at Jerusalem in Acts 6. What they did was got the church to appoint 7 men to help sort out the problem, and then they returned to prayer and teaching of the word.
John, I think it'd be quite useful if you could give us, if you like, a case study, an example.
Yes, that would be good. We've considered Job at some length in this series, so let's take him as our example.
So what do you have in mind in his life now?
Well, we've pointed out earlier some of the things his friends did that were wrong and unhelpful. But we need to remember that his friends did some things that were right. In particular, they went to visit him in his trouble. They went to sympathise with him and to comfort him. Those things were good. They wept with him and they sat with him. They didn't ignore him, nor avoid him, nor treat him at arm's length, but went and got close to him. And that's something we need to do for those who are in deep distress. We need to go and give them support and comfort. But now let's turn to Job 42 and see something else that helped Job. Derek, would you read for us, please, Job 42, verse 10 onwards?
Yes, certainly. And we read, "After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring."
You see the combination here. The Lord helped him, and as a result of the Lord's help, his family and friends came to see him. They comforted and consoled him and gave him practical help in the form of silver and gold to get him started again. So this practical help continued even after the initial effects of disaster he'd faced were over. And so his life was restored by the Lord and the help of his family and friends.
You're listening to Serving Today, the programme for pastors and church leaders. Giving pastoral help when disaster breaks into people's lives is very demanding, but also very necessary. Dr. John Hall now continues by answering the question about what kind of help we should try to be giving.
Well, there are different kinds of help needed when disaster strikes. So let's think first of all of what we might call general help.
And what do you have in mind here?
Well, in disaster, practical help is needed. You need to visit people that you're seeking to help and assess what's needed. Then you need to think of how that need can be met. Just let me give you an example from the tsunami. A friend of mine who was a pastor was in bed with flu when the tsunami struck. But the first thing he did when he was able to stand up was go and see the bank manager to borrow £5,000, a huge sum of money. And then with that money, he hired equipment to pump out the wells clean, to help bury bodies. He organised work teams of men from his churches who were unemployed and paid them to work. And so we can see he assessed the need, getting clean water, burying the bodies, before he got on with the other tasks and showed initiative in seeking to meet that need. So we need to assess the situation and how we can give immediate help. Another example would be this same pastor thinking of how the children could be helped after such a traumatic experience. And he bought them school books and encouraged them to go back to school so that they were occupied, bought them clothes and uniforms so that they could attend the school. Sometimes people are so stunned by the trouble that you've got to arrange to take food to them. And he arranged food parcels given out each week so that families could be fed. Also, we may need to appeal to our friends overseas if you live in the area where there aren't many wealthy Christians. So the help needed will range from small tasks like food to substantial financial help if a house is to be built. It's also very important to remember that even small deeds of kindness done in love greatly help those in trouble. So because you don't have very much, don't be put off seeking to help them. Sometimes people are so stunned by their troubles. They may need help to get meals and with daily activities, and anyone can help with things like that. But families are best at offering this sort of intrusive help. But where the family is unable to do this, the church family can often step in and help.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, again, the very helpful advice, because we can be put off by thinking, you know, my contribution is so small. You've mentioned the need for finance. We may not have the finance available, but often just actually sitting with people and chatting with them, isn't it? helps to relieve the distress that they're in. And we mustn't be put off, must we, by our inability to do the big things.
No, that's true indeed.
Yeah.
We mustn't.
Yeah.
And we really do often need to get alongside people and sit with them and talk with them. And often that gives an opportunity to share the gospel as time goes by.
Yes, I was going to say, because that really does show the love of Christ, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And yet, sharing the gospel is particularly the task of elders. And that's my next major point, that we need to offer spiritual help as pastors, because often the focus that the world brings to the situation is it provides for the physical needs, often will offer psychological help in the form of counselling. But if the people in trouble are believers, they'll need spiritual help as well, and that's specifically the job of the pastor elder.
So how do you suggest we go about giving this spiritual assistance, which is really so vital, isn't it?
It is indeed. And here, what we've already looked at has begun to prepare the pastor for that job. Firstly, you're not going to say anything which denies God's power or control or his love. Your core theology will remain in place as you seek to help people. So you'll pray and seek to give the comfort you yourself have already experienced from God in your own troubles. And you'll benefit also from seeing how people in the past have coped with trouble, how they've prayed, how they've shown faith in God and submitted to his will, as we looked at in one of our previous studies from biblical characters, how in the deepest distress they've shown hope, how turning to God and experiencing God's help helped them recover. It's all summed up in Peter's advice that we mentioned several times already in this study: cast all your care on him because he cares for you. Interestingly, Peter has taken this phrase from Psalm 55, and he's showing us a principle here, how as a fellow elder, he's taking the word of God and applying it to those who need encouragement.
And what's the setting of that psalm, John?
Well, Derek, in Psalm 55, David is in distress. For example, in verse 2 he says, "My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught." Now that's exactly how people feel in disaster. David's trouble is his enemies who are pursuing him. He's in anguish. All the terrors of death assail him. And those who survive disaster often have flashbacks to the terror of death and guilt over having survived while so many others died. They say things like, "Why was I spared to suffer? Why didn't I die with my family? Or will this anguish and horror never pass?"
Yeah, it's very moving, this, isn't it? And very real, of course. Mm. What did David do when he felt like that?
David, in his trouble, says in verses 16 and 17 of Psalm 55, "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." Then, in verse 22, he urges his readers, "Cast all your care on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall."
And David's final conclusion here is, "But as for me, I trust in you," meaning that he's trusting in God. And that really is the key to helping believers. Well, our thanks again to Dr. John Hall and Derek French. There we must end our time together for now here on Serving Today. So it's goodbye from me, Andrew Cook, and may the Lord uphold and use you. We hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Or you can find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Thanks for listening and goodbye.